Be in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll read the first seven verses again this week, even though we may not get to all of them. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Here we bow together in prayer. Loving Father, it is our desire to give glory and praise to you. We thank you, Father, that you have such a grand and glorious plan, wherein from the beginning of the world, from before the foundations even of the world itself, that you had us in mind. We thank you, Father, for your love and grace, your mercies, your sovereign decree and desire that all those that are in Christ Jesus should experience those things which you have blessed them with, even those things which are in heavenly places. Lord, we praise you and thank you, looking to you today for that which you would give us to be encouraged and to be edified in faith, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 3, if I may, to begin with. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The heavenly places, we're going to talk about that somewhat today. And as we look at this idea that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, we find that this phrase has much to do with the whole idea of those heavenly things which Christ has blessed us with. The idea of heavenly places carries with it the thought of the abundance of those graces which God has bestowed upon us. They were not yet in heavenly places, that is, we are not yet in heavenly places as we think about our residence. We are here upon the earth. Yet at the same time, there are many graces which God shows toward us. The abundance of that grace which God shows toward us is part of the idea of heavenly places. We might, when we talk about a place, we might think of a location, we'll try to define this just a little bit better as we move along, but it isn't talking so much about a location as it is the kinds of things which God has blessed us with in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that we have here and enjoy of the world, but then the things that we enjoy as Christians in our walk of faith and labor of love and patience of hope until the Lord returns, are also those things which he gives us by his grace. We are called saints, as we have already seen here in verse 1, and that we find as in Christ Jesus and as being his chosen, then we have a glorious relationship with our Lord. We have both grace and peace from God our Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that also is mentioned to us in verse 2, grace and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ. Grace and peace, the relationship that we have with Jesus and with God, is part of that idea of the grace of God which He has bestowed upon us. We are beneficiaries of God's blessings. And so as we think about the idea of heavenly places in heavenly places, let us also have that thought that it is part of that grace of God wherein He administers to us things which we formerly did not have nor deserve in any way or still. But we find that we have them because Jesus Christ has provided them for us. And so in 1 Peter 1:3 it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now in that verse alone we can see that we have a relationship not only to God the Father, we have received of His abundant mercy toward us, we have been begotten again unto a lively hope, and that hope is in Christ, and it is because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that we have these things. Are these not then the graces of God which He has given to us? And are they not also those things that we may know here and now by faith, but yet will experience much more fully when we are with the Lord and in His presence with Him? Now, who hath blessed us? Paul is talking about when and by whom he is in reference. As we look at verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," and the phrase says, "Who hath blessed us?" Now, who is the us? Well, if we want to just kind of examine that idea of who the us is, we might rule out, first of all, it's not the world that Paul is talking about. It's not the world of mankind. Why? Because even though Christ came to die for the world and for those who would come to Christ by faith, those who would believe upon Him, certainly we know that there are many who do not experience the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come into the relationship of Christ and we experience those things in Christ. And so it cannot be the world of mankind. It cannot even be the world of the nations. Though the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to go unto the world, beginning at Jerusalem, unto Judea, and Samaria, then unto the uttermost parts of the world. We know the Great Commission goes out. But then all the nations of the world, though they may be in view, are not in view here, for we find that he is writing specifically to a group of people that are called saints, that are called faithful, and then are a part of that group, which has these graces which are in heavenly places. That is, they are graces which have been provided for us. And so the designation that he gives here is important. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings? The us here then is those who are believing, those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the ones who belong to the us. And so we find that the saints and faithful are the believing and the believers. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so this afternoon, as you consider your walk with the Lord and you are trusting in Him, remember that it is those heavenly places that you will be obtaining certain grace of God, and that God will provide those according to His mercy, abundant mercy to you, because you have been begotten unto a lively hope. The grand idea then of heavenly places may be called subjects and matters, rather than simply a location. You know, we often think of heaven as a location, but then where is heaven? Well, you say it's up there. Well, as the earth is spinning quite round and everybody is on it, which direction is up there? Well, we know that God gives us a sense of heaven as a place. Yet at the same time, we realize that these things which God has, by His wonderful grace, made known unto us, are more having to do with subjects and matters that pertain unto us, rather than simply a place. Now, if you understand what I mean by that, think with me, if you would, please, concerning the whole idea of the kinds of things that you would experience in heaven when you go to be with the Lord. When you go there, even though we perhaps don't have a road map in the sense that we would normally think of one, though we have the Bible, which is our road map, you would say, well, when I die, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and God will just take me to heaven. That is, that part of me that belongs to Him, other than the corruptible flesh which I have, even though that will someday be turned into incorruption, we find that God will take that part of me which He has breathed into my body, the breath of life, and I have become a living soul. I will go to be with the Lord, and I will experience those things which God has for me there. In other words, there'll be certain things that you'll be experiencing. Things pertaining to heaven. Things pertaining to heaven. And what are some of those things we might think of pertaining to heaven? Well, we've eternal life. Certainly a body that which is made new and incorruptible, and that we shall see the Lord, and that we shall be with Him. And so that company of believers that we shall also be reunioned with will be a part of our experience, and of that eternal relationship wherein there will be no sin, and that we shall ever give praise and glory unto God. A sense of enjoyment, which we know little about here, except as we study and know it by faith. And so, things pertaining to heaven, heavenly places, heavenly subjects, heavenly matters pertaining to heaven. These are the things of the graces of God which He is bestowing upon us. And so we are the us in verse 3, and we shall experience the heavenly things. The heavenly things. One of our translators in each instance supplied the word places. Now, if you look the word places up in each one of these verses, like in Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 1:20, Ephesians 2:6, and Ephesians 3:10, the word places has been supplied in each one of these verses. Although, and it is not there except by supplying it, according to the translator's need to express what the verse is saying. And so that's why I'm kind of going into a kind of an extended explanation of this, because the word is supplied in heavenly, if you wanted to cut it short, in heavenly. So who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly in Christ? And so that subject matter and that the things which we will experience is not a place so much as those things that we shall experience, those graces which God shall bestow upon us as we experience the abundance of His grace toward us in Christ Jesus. So the meaning then is that in Christ, through Christ, or by means of Christ, God the Father hath bestowed all spiritual blessings that were fitted to prepare us for heaven. The relationship we have to Christ then is truly one of a grand design when we stop and think about it. Looking at this chapter, we understand that there is some heavy subjects in view, such as our calling and of that aspect of being chosen of God and of being predestined and of God doing this from the very foundation of the world. And so sometimes when we look at a passage like this, we get a little bit uneasy about just how to think about it and just who it includes. But God has a grand design in what He is doing. And even though we ourselves have difficulty sometimes in explaining these things or thinking about these things, it does not in any way lessen what God is doing or why He is doing it. It is according to His purpose that He is doing it. And so secondly, the grand design of God is now revealed in verse 4. In verse 3, we have that concept of in heavenly things. In heavenly things we have been blessed. Those things of Christ, those graces of God, those blessings which He alone can bestow upon us. In verse 4, we find that it begins by saying, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And so it is a grand design of God, and it is revealed to us. God is revealing this to us in His Word, that His design is one of a planning and purpose and according to His own will and His own decree. The blessings that we have in heavenly things are according to God's eternal purpose. The blessings that we have in heavenly things, then, are according to God's eternal purpose. And so we realize that these things are important for us because we shall be experiencing them, and that we should know them, at least to know the subject matter at hand, and that these things are for you and I. They're for us. As He has decreed from the beginning of the world, each one of these phrases builds quite strongly as we move through the text in verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now the Jews believed very strongly that they were the elect people of God, chosen people of God. We also know that this verse shows us something else, that it was not only the Jews who were held in a very wonderful relationship to God the Father, even though the Jews were elect and chosen of God. We find that this verse includes Gentiles as well, not just Jews, even though they were the elect people of God, even though they were a nation unto God, and God did govern them as a theocracy for a time. And so we realize that God has also brought others into this relationship that perhaps the Jews were at one time quite ignorant of. That is, that the Gentile people also were a part of those who were chosen from the foundation of the world. To say anything else would be to go against the divine decree and purpose of God. But Paul says it right here to the church at Ephesus. Writing to the us, writing to the saints, writing to the faithful in Christ, writing to all those who pertained unto heavenly things in Christ Jesus, that they too were chosen from before the foundations of the world. And so we find that God has a very grand plan in view in the things that he has within his word. It is not so limited as some people might think in that aspect. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Looking again at verse 3, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The idea of holy is to be holy, fully holy. That is, separated and consecrated. If we are to be in Christ, and we are in Christ, that we are known as those who are a part of those who will be blessed of God in such heavenly things that we find it even difficult to speak about, other than in biblical terms, we find that we are to be holy and without blame. That is, we are to be consecrated to God. The idea of without blame here is a word which not only means to be without blame, but having no spot, no imperfection, and their inward holiness agreeing with an outward perfection. Now, who possibly can we have such a relationship to that would give us all this? None but Jesus, you see. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow. How did we become whiter than snow? But by the blood of Jesus. Where does our faith come but by the shed blood of Jesus, that we might know him? How can we obtain heavenly things in Christ except by the blood of Jesus? All points to Jesus, because he is the one alone that can give us this holy life fully unto him. And he is the one that can give us such a relationship to him that we are without blame. Now, who is it that shall take the punishment of our sin but Jesus? Who is it that shall bear our guilt but Jesus? Who is it that appeased the wrath of God on our behalf but Jesus? How can we maintain such a perfect relationship with God but by Jesus? And so we realize he is that great high priest who has come to make mediation and intercession for us through his own atonement. And even though you may recognize your own imperfection in your natural body and your own natural nature, we find because you have been begotten unto a lively hope through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Paul can say this. Paul can say what he is saying here, that we should be holy and without blame. Holy, fully holy, without blame, having no spot, no imperfection, and that their inward holiness is agreeing with an outward perfection. Paul can say that. These are heavenly things. And they have been put here for us to read that we might realize that all of our heavenly things are in Christ. They're in Christ. For the Christian, love is truly a part also of these heavenly things. Let us read further. And without blame before him in love. In love. Now we know that God is the one who has greatly loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so love is a grand motive to God, of God, toward us. And it is also love, therefore, that must fill our hearts to love each other. How can we love each other but by the love of God? How can we live in such union in the body of Christ and it being greatly diverse and with many gifts and abilities and be so equipped as Jesus Christ is the head of the church? And how can we love one another except it be in Christ? Love is also a part of God's great design that we might experience those heavenly things. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." See, we find that Peter also wrote of these heavenly things. In writing of these, he gives similar information to us as that we should recognize that God, in his electing grace, in his foreknowledge, in that knowledge which he alone possessed, has loved us with a great and abundant love according to his mercies in Christ Jesus. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 9 and 10, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And so we see that God works mysteriously according to his will to call people unto himself. And in calling those people, those who were not a people become a people of God. And those who are a people of God have obtained mercy, not because of themselves, but because God gave it to them. And obtaining that mercy, they also receive of those graces which God alone gives to his people. Excuse me. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Again, this verse has also very similar, strong implications to what we are talking about here. That we are saved and we are called and we are made holy unto God. That it is not according to our own selves, it is according to the purpose and plan of God, not the works of man. According to the purpose of God's grace, as he administers his grace through Christ our Lord, And it says, before the world began. All indicating to us of those blessings which we have in heavenly things. Things which are not of us. Things which are of God. Things that are not of us, but which we have been given through Christ our Lord. Things that we have because Christ did die for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And so we would say God's eternal purpose is in view. His eternal purpose. Barnes, in his commentary, makes this observation. The eternal purpose of God was not conferred by chance or have haphazard. They were the result of intention and design on the part of God. Their value was greatly enhanced from the fact that God has designed from all eternity to bestow upon them, and that they come to us as a result of his everlasting plan. And so God is very much involved in his eternal purpose. All this was, of course, by God's eternal counsel. Even as the verse begins in verse 4, it says, according as. The word according applies that all spiritual blessing was given to us by his eternal purpose. According as. It goes back to the eternal purpose of God. According to his eternal purpose. And so we find that God is so wonderfully involved in his creation, especially those that he has made in a redemptive way to bring us unto himself and to give glory to him, that his plan and purposes according as are in conformity to his eternal purpose. God doesn't make mistakes. He hath chosen us. Hath chosen. And the word meaning here is to lay out together, to choose out, to select. That's what the word means. To lay out together, to choose out, to select. A couple of different references that may be shown to show the usage of such a word, to choose. First of all, in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, it says, Mary hath chosen the good part. In other words, she chose to do something, and it was a good part. It was so God laid it upon her heart to choose the better part. Also, we find that in another reference, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. And you may remember this one out of the 1 Corinthians. I believe it's all about verse 13 and 14. God had chosen the foolish things of the world as he preferred them to use in a way to show his own glory. Also in Mark chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, For the elect's sake whom he hath chosen, he shortened certain days. In other words, God designed to choose certain thing, certain matter, subject, to carry out because of his elect's sake. And Jesus tells his disciples in another passage, he says to them, I know whom I have chosen. I know whom I have chosen. Now think about that again, the word chosen, meaning to lay out together, to choose out, to select. Same word being used in every one of these various references, and it means that there is a choice involved. And when God makes his choice, it is according to his eternal plan and purpose. Thirdly, this grand transaction should take place in him. This grand transaction. And so as we look at verse 3, the latter part of it, it says, in Christ. In Christ. In him. We are in Him. This transaction has taken place in Christ. How wonderful it is for us to reflect upon that this afternoon, because all that we have and that we experience in heavenly things is in Christ. And God has designed, according to His eternal purpose, to bring about that transaction in Christ. So as we consider the plan of God, the purpose of God, there must be then someone to carry it out. And we find that the person who carries this out is the Lord Jesus. This is the place where God's plan and purpose from the foundations of the world come together. They come together in Christ. And so the choice was not without reference to any means of saving the them or the us which are in Christ. No, God meant to send His Son in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, that she might bear the Christ child, and that the saving work of God would be carried out. And so this word foundation means properly laying a foundation as where a foundation is laid, such as a building, and of course with purpose and with meaning. And in this particular case, it says in verse 4, before the foundations of the world. How far back did it go that God purposed to do this work? Before the foundations of creation. Before this world right here was created, which we inhabit, God, in His own mind and heart, had laid out the plan, the foundation, if you will, the purposes, His counsel, that these things may take place in Him, in Christ Jesus. Closing with a couple of verses in Matthew 13, 33 to 35. Another parable spake He unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret. From when? The foundations of the world. Even the prophets spoke these words of the counsel of God. Paul uses them to speak to us of the counsel of God on our behalf. And that all those who are called saints and faithful, all those who are blessed in these heavenly things, these matters and subjects obtained by us through the grace of God, pertaining to us, of those things that we have in Christ, all these things come by that one who made that transaction possible, the Lord Jesus Christ, from when? The foundations of the world. In Matthew 25, 31 to 44, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. Again, a reference that God will, at that last judgment even, do all those things which He will do to judge those who are on the right hand and on the left hand. And all these things are from the foundations of the world. Such is the plan and purpose of God. In Hebrews chapter 9, 26 through 28, For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, But now, once in the end of the world, speaking of Jesus, of course, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In John 17:24-26, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. God the Father loved his Son in the eternal counsels before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them, before the foundations of the world. And this being the last verse in 1 Peter 1:18-20, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That verse kind of sums it up, doesn't it? That in all the counsel of God that he had meant for these things to take place all along, and that his grand design and purpose for those who are called saints and holy unto him, for those who are the faithful, for those who are blessed in heavenly things, for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those that are according to his divine counsel and purpose, even before the creation of this world, before that period, God himself, in his own decree and purposes, did set you and I forth to be redeemed, not by silver and gold, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. Our blessings are in heavenly things, in Christ Jesus. Here we pray.